I'd like to call it a word of the Tuesday, February 13th, 2018, meeting of the Tarrant Township Board of Supervisors. I'd like to ask everyone to rise for pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under heaven, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Would you have the roll call, please?
Member Rick Zamuda?
Here.
Member Susan Court?
Here.
Member Justin Engel?
Here.
Chairman Mark Moyer?
Here. Although it is posted within the meeting room, I want to advise those persons attending this meeting that it is and has been a policy Township of Tarrant to tape record all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. At this time, I would like to open the floor to visitor and public comments. If anyone wishes to address the board, I invite them to the podium. Please state your name and address, and if you'd be so kind as to limit your comments to 3 minutes or less, it would be greatly appreciated. Would anyone like to address the Board of Supervisors, at least during this first public comment session? Hearing none, we will move to the approval of the meeting minutes of the Board of Supervisors, January 23rd, 2018 meeting. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Engel, second by Ms. Court. All those in favor? Are any thoughts or comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? And the January 23rd, 2018 minutes are hereby approved. The new business, the consideration of an interest rate hedge for the Recreation Center project financing. Mr. Engel. Thank you.
Good evening. We've had some previous discussions about identifying the funding sources for the rec center project in terms of bond financing and talking about interest rates. And so in light of those discussions, we wanted to just bring this update to you in terms of what's happening with interest rates. Because when we think about the financing for the project, I think we've talked about there would be a portion of the funds that would be borrowed by the township, and obviously when you're borrowing money, you have to be aware of what the interest rate is going to be and the interest in the debt service that then that creates and the liability for the township. So one of the things that we have been talking to the administration about is looking at where interest rates are. Obviously we know the last 10 years they've been at historic lows. We've moved off of that recently, and obviously a lot of signs that the economy is getting better and interest rates might be rising or increasing, and we've had the Fed do 5 short-term rate hikes here in the last year and a half. So one of the things that we wanted to bring to your attention was, as you look at the rec center project and financing it, is should we be thinking about trying to lock in some portion of the funds and the interest rate on that portion of funds that you may be planning to borrow to fund the project. I think we talk about project affordability a lot when we are out working with school districts and townships like you that are considering significant projects, and you look at a debt service amount and say, well, I can afford this amount of debt service, but I might not be able to afford this amount plus some factor. And a lot of our public entities look at that when you have the discussions publicly and you talk about what a project's going to cost and try to look at that affordability factor. And so I think a lot of the people that are considering and have already done this strategy, it was built around the affordability of the project. So I think that's really the backdrop to think about. Why would we think about trying to lock in an interest rate on some portion of the funds that you may need? I think it's about project affordability. Obviously, you're still exploring all of the revenue sources that would go towards the project and paying back the debt on the project. And so those things, I think, can continue. But if we're committed to doing a project and starting it in some time parameters next year, for instance, then we probably should be at least thinking about where our interest rates and not ignoring the fact that most economists are projecting that interest rates are going to be higher a year from now. So that's kind of the context for this. At the end of the day, well, there's a lot of charts in here that make it sound pretty complex. It comes down to really a simple technique in that you lock in an interest rate. You're not doing a financing. We're not doing a bond issue now. You lock in a rate. So you're entering into a contract, and if interest rates go higher, the value of that contract, if you've locked in a lower rate, is going to increase. And so if they go higher, you terminate it for a gain, and the money that you make is less that you have to borrow. And so you're borrowing less money in a higher interest rate, therefore your debt service payments should be lower. And the vice versa happens if you do this and interest rates go lower, you have to terminate the contract to get out of it and make a payment, but now you're borrowing in a much lower interest rate environment. So that's the simple concept, that you enter this one piece of paper that's providing the interest rate hedge for you, and then it just depends where interest rates are a year from now when you're doing the project as to whether you terminate for a gain or terminate for a loss. But the net impact is that your overall borrowing cost should be about where the cost is today. And that's what we're trying to save, is if we do nothing and a year from now we're ready to go borrow the money and interest rates are a percent higher, you'll see that in our one example, the debt service is about $5 million more than what it would be at today's interest rates. So, big picture, that's what we're trying to do. I'll take you through this pretty briefly. We've talked about some of these things in the past, so I think it'll sound familiar. But just in terms of framing the discussion on current market conditions, this first page 2, under the current market conditions, I'll go through these quickly with you, that we've had the Fed, as I mentioned earlier, started in December of 2015 and has already increased the short-term interest rate, the Fed funds rate, 5 times. And that's the rate that, when all the talk on CNBC, they're arguing about, are they going to raise that rate 3 times or 4 times here in 2018, and then probably a couple more times in 2019 to get to their target rate of 3% on the Fed funds rate. We have things happening like the tax reform package that was just passed, that the expectation is that's going to potentially give the economy a little bit more action, and we might see growth rates of 3.5% or 4%, an economy that's moving quicker and producing more jobs is going to be one where the Fed wants to increase rates sooner. So a lot of this is just kind of the background of interest rates. When you turn to page 3 to look at a picture of it, this is the chart of the interest rate on the 10-year U.S. Treasury. And the 10-year U.S. Treasury is the benchmark for the bond market. It's the benchmark for mortgages. And when you look at this chart, we're on the lower right corner is the current data. And you can see two years ago was when we hit the all-time lows, and then rates spiked up after the election, and then last summer rates came back down. But you can see the line has clearly started to move higher and started to move higher pretty quickly. And that's just in the last couple of weeks, the economic information that's come out. 2 weeks ago, it was the wage and jobs number that really scared the stock market, that inflation and higher interest rates are definitely coming soon. That really set off the wild swings that we've had in all of the markets here over the last 2 weeks. So when you look at this chart from a historical standpoint, still, we're not at the bottom, but still a pretty good time to be thinking about locking in an interest rate. Page 4 is a projection. This is a median study that Bloomberg provides, where they go out and survey 60 different investment banks and financial institutions, and it's their combined projection on interest rates, both short-term, the Fed funds rate, so that's the first blue line at the chart at the top, and then the 10-year Treasury, which is the second blue line that we have highlighted, and the projection on where those rates would go here through 2018, and then also through 2019 into the first half of 2020. We've charted that on the bottom for you to see the lines, and you can see that the consensus among all of these firms is that rates are gradually increasing. Obviously, those aren't huge increases, but rates significantly increasing on the short-term rates, the 10-year rates, the 30-year rates. Page 5 kind of gets into the technicals of this, but it's an important concept, and I think we talked about this the last time we addressed this opportunity. It's measuring interest rate differentials, and one of the things that is important about this is we're locking in a rate for the future. And by historical standards, recently the charge that the market charges you to lock in a rate for the future has come down dramatically. And by historical standards, it's much lower than what it used to be. So when we talk about locking in a rate, just like when you call your mortgage broker and say, can I lock in a rate to settle in 4 months versus settling next month, they charge you a little bit more for that delayed settlement. So the market would do the same on this if we're thinking about holding this interest rate until next spring when we might be ready to do a borrowing. So that's what we're measuring on this chart, and the message there is in the last 2 weeks, these charts have started to move a little bit, and it has gotten a little bit more costly. The forward premium that we were coming up with today is about 8 basis points is what the market charges to lock in a rate right now on the contemplated financing that you're looking at. When we first talked about it a few weeks ago, that number was about 6 basis points. So just with interest rates moving the way they have and the volatility the last 2 weeks, it's up a couple basis points, but by historical standards, that charge is very small. On page 6, I won't hit all of these bullet points, but I think a couple of the key ones is basically the fifth bullet point. Let's stop on that one. The decision to utilize an instrument to hedge rates would be made to reduce the uncertainty of what interest rate environment will be at the time the new money bonds are sold. So, you know, I think that's an important point. If none of us think interest rates are going to be higher a year from now, then we shouldn't have much more of a discussion on this. If we all kind of think rates seem to be going higher and considerable amount of money that we're thinking about potentially borrowing, then we should continue the discussion. But I think that's an important point just to make, is if there's some people that think, well, no, there's a lot of risk still in the global economy and maybe interest rates aren't going to go much higher, but there's a lot of believers when you look at the previous charts that we just looked at that interest rates are going to be higher in the future, and specifically a year from now when we're talking about doing this the financing. A couple bullet points below that one, where a section of it is highlighted in bold, where we say there's no assurance that this type of hedge is going to completely insulate you from what your borrowing costs are going to be. You know, this strategy is employed by issuers like you all across the country. What we can't perfectly match up is that the day that we go to sell Township of Derry bonds in the market with whatever your credit rating is, when we go to sell those bonds, that interest rate would have moved perfectly with the interest rate market where you put these types of transactions on. We have charts, which we'll look at in a second, that show historically they have moved together, but there's no one that could give you that absolute guarantee that, you know, we do this and interest rates go up, but something happens and your credit rating goes down. You know, it's not going to work out absolutely perfect to insulate you 100%. We can't make that guarantee, but we have a lot of examples that usually they move together. And we'll show you that really the one time, and it was for a couple of weeks, was at the height of the financial crisis in the fall of 2008. You'll see on our chart that things kind of pulled apart and they weren't necessarily moving together. After that, they went back and followed the normal historical trading patterns that we follow. Second bullet point from the bottom is a very, very important one on this topic, and that's project risk. We only ever recommend this when everybody is in agreement that you have a project to do, that you're going to be borrowing money to do that project, and you have a timeline that you're comfortable with as to when you would undertake the financing to pay for that project. We wouldn't want to have you get in a situation where you've done a contract and now it's time to do the financing when we thought we were going to do it, but now there's a significant delay and we're not, or the project has changed substantially in scope and it's a different project and we say, okay, now we've got to tear up this contract. If interest rates have gone higher, it's not a problem, so we tear it up and we have a significant gain. If interest rates have gone lower, we need to come up with the funds to terminate it at whatever the market value is. So that's where project risk and making sure that before you would enter a transaction like this, that timelines, doing the project, all of that, that basically everyone is in agreement on that. Next, page 7 is the chart that I was just referencing where we measure basically the municipal market interest rates. That's the index called MMD, and we measure it against these other interest rates where these hedges are priced. And here we've gone back to 2002, and you can see that the three lines basically were moving together with the exception of towards the end of 2008, kind of right there before the 2009 marker on the chart, where they kind of pulled apart, and that was November of 2008, and they were apart for a couple of weeks, and then everything kind of settled back in and went back to the norm. But one of the things that we have been able to provide some flexibility to other borrowers that have done this exact thing is the flexibility that if we were scheduled to terminate this contract and we were in an environment like the financial crisis in the fall of 2008, we have the flexibility to basically extend the transaction and not force and say, well, we must terminate this today because that was the original date. And so we had a lot of conversations. Henfield School District, that was one of their concerns, and we were able to basically discuss that ability to extend with them, and I think it made them much more comfortable before they entered a transaction that was similar to this. Page 8, it gets into basically the breakdown of, obviously there are costs to put a transaction together like this. Again, we've touched on this in the past, but basically about half of the cost is really the market charge to lock in that rate before you're actually going to use it. The other half is the professional cost to actually make the transaction happen. So that's important to understand. And when I reference the 8 basis points as the forward premium today when we price it, that's basically half of that total cost to do the transaction. So I think that's important. That's something that we measure closely. We'll show you what that amount was on a similar transaction we did for Penn Manor School District. Page 9 is some real hard numbers based on your potential borrowing. And we sized this for a financing that was producing $25 million in a construction fund. So it was sized to produce $25 million to be available for projects. And what you see in columns 1 through 4 is what just a bond issue would look like. And if we did it today, in column 2, the debt service, so the principal and interest payments over the life of the issue, and this is structured around the wrapping around your existing debt that we've talked about to try and minimize the debt service impact to the township. So at today's current rates in column 2, the total principal and interest over the life of the issue is that $41,191,000 number. If interest rates in column 1 are 50 basis points lower than they are today, you can see that number would drop to $39.2 million. And conversely, if they're 50 basis points higher, column 3, that $41 million number jumps to about $43.8 million. And if rates are 1 full percentage higher than they are today, that number goes to the 46.7 number. So it's like $5.6 million more if interest rates are 1% higher than today. So there you can see, obviously interest rates matter when you're considering borrowing the amount of money that you're considering right now. Columns 5 through 8
then we factor in, if you put in place a hedge at today's interest rates, basically how you can narrow that range, that no matter if interest rates go lower or interest rates go higher, by those same ranges, you can see the debt service stays within a pretty tight band between $41 million and $42 million. So that variability that we have in columns 1 through 4, where we do nothing and we just wait and see what interest rates are when we get there, big range of the potential debt service. Columns 5 through 8 are saying, let's try and capture today's rates, and once we do that, we don't care too much about whether rates go up or down. We're going to end up in a pretty tight band of what our debt service costs are if we do this. So I think that's probably the most important page in this handout is just looking at, there you're seeing real numbers that apply to your project and the impact of employing this strategy to try and take advantage of today's rates. We can turn to page 11. Page 11 is what Penn Manor School District did. They have, when you look at that first bullet point, they have a new high school that they're going to be building starting in 2019. The timing is similar to your construction timeline. And so they've been looking at project affordability. They need to borrow $80 million to build this new school. And they were looking at interest rates this fall, and at those rates they could afford the project based on what they had been building into their budgets and preparing in terms of their debt service costs going up. And so they locked in two separate pieces, $40 million each, one for their borrowing that's planned in 2019, one that's for the borrowing planned in 2020. And we show the interest rate that they locked in, and then the second bullet point from the bottom in each one of those sections show the forward premium. So when they locked in to the fall, from the fall of 2017 to the spring of 2019, the market was charging them about 11 basis points was their premium. So now that here we are in February, looking at going to May of 2019, right now it's about 8 basis points. And then they had their second piece where they went out to 2020, and down at the bottom there you can see that forward premium was about 17 basis points. So that's the nitty-gritty stuff that we look at all day long, is what are those premiums. Probably a couple years ago, those premiums were easily double what they are today, and that's all because the yield curve is very flat right now, and therefore the premium to go forward is very, very low, and it makes these types of opportunities more cost effective to employ when that premium, because that's real dollars that you're basically paying to lock that rate in advance. So the lower we can get that number, obviously the better. So I'll stop there. I think we've kind of gone over the highlights. Again, I think some of the decisions for you is, you know, when you're comfortable that you're ready to commit to financing of the project and the amount of the financing. This is a very effective tool. We would just want to make sure that you're at that spot before you would make a decision to proceed. So I'm here to answer questions. Also, PFM, John Fry, and Scott Shear are here. A potential transaction like this, I should just review for you. It's a little different than a bond issue, where a bond issue, we have to get a credit rating, and we go through all the work that the administration does to do a bond financing. There's fewer parties to enter a contract like this. You really just need a bank to do it with. The state law requires that you have a financial advisory firm like PFM that will certify that what you're doing fits the state law and that the costs are in line, and they give you an opinion that it's a market cost. And then you need bond counsel to basically do the paperwork that says fits within the state law and that it's a permitted act. The state changed the laws in 2003. It's called Act 23 to allow municipalities and school districts to use these types of contracts for exactly this reason. So you really need three parties to make this happen. Unlike with a bond issue, we have a paying agent bank, and we have a credit rating agency, and and a lot of offering statements that we need to print. So there's a lot more people and logistics involved when you do a bond finance. And with this, you really just need three parties. So you would have to authorize those parties at some point to move forward. You'd have to pick the amount that you would like to lock in an interest rate on, and then basically give the team a go-ahead at that point in time. It takes us a couple of weeks to get credit approvals, because obviously we're entering into a financial contract with the township, and so there's credit approvals and things like that. So it's usually a couple of weeks from the time somebody says, yes, go do this. So I'd be happy to answer any questions. It's a lot of information that is a little different than what we usually talk about.
Any members of the board have any questions for Mr. Vermilli?
I have a question. Thank you for explaining this so well. I wish you'd taught my high school math class. If we get the authorization to do this tonight, then you would work with the administration to put together the next steps. Does it come back before us again?
Yes.
So we would then have an opportunity to review it and determine where the market's gone and whether
correct.
It still makes sense, and we'll have a better sense of where we are in the project.
That next step is similar to when you do approve a bond issue or a bank loan like we did recently. So that's a step where you're actually adopting an ordinance and officially entering into the contract that has to have an advertisement that you're considering that. So yes, what we were envisioning was if you think you're interested, you could authorize the team tonight to basically get the paperwork together and be processing it and pick a date when you would like us to come back for your formal approval. Yeah, there's nothing binding if you say to us tonight, go do this, and then change your mind. There's no cost or anything.
Just keeping as volatile as the market is and quickly as things change, it's good to have another chance to look at it.
Yeah. I don't think the Fed's going to make a decision. What's your next meeting?
I have it on page four from the
March.
It's the March meeting, but the actual date is March 21. Right now, the Fed futures, we looked at it yesterday, is pricing in a 100% chance that they're increasing rates at the March meeting. The June meeting right now has about a 64% chance, and the September meeting is right around 50%.
Yeah, I think the new chairman's waiting to see what the market does, inflationary factors.
So with the timing, if we move forward tonight, would this come? Would we be able to close this before that March 21st meeting?
Well, that's your decision as to when you want to officially say yes, go do it. When you give us that guidance and the amount that you want to do. So, for instance, if you gave us that at the first meeting that you have in March. We probably would be able to execute the transaction a couple days later after that. Yeah.
So we would lock in those rates at that time.
Right.
And what's the term of the contract?
Good question. That's one of the bullet points I should have hit earlier. Basically, this is a contract. If we think that the financing is going to occur in May of 2019, we would set the term to be May of 2019, so that we are only in that contract until that date, and we would do the financing at that point. The contract gets terminated, is off of the township's books at that point in time, and that's a big difference. Then the township had a previous swap that we did in 2009, and that was meant to generate interest earnings for the township when interest rates were close to zero. And we did that and layered it on the bonds that paid for this building that are financed out through the year 2030. And so that transaction was going to be in place. If it was left untouched, it would have been in place until 2030 and would show up on the township's audited financial statements. The term of this is whatever, where we think we're going to issue the debt, that's where we will draw the line and say that's going to be our mandatory, the language will be, it'll be a mandatory termination date.
Okay. And so can you tell us what it would look like to extend that?
So under that scenario, it would be we get to next spring and we're not quite ready to borrow. Maybe we don't know exactly what the amount is that we want to borrow. You would basically, we'd take that information back and say, do we need 3 more months? six more months, there's probably a small adjustment to the interest rate to be able to extend it. But it's pretty flexible that, you know, if you say, we're just not ready to do this right now, we'd like to extend it another 6 months. We were in a meeting recently with a very large issuer, and we even talked about a one-year extension if they need it. So I think it's just, it would be the communication that we're all talking about financing the project, and if we saw that we weren't ready or something was going on in the market and we didn't want to be borrowing money at that specific time, I think we would start talking, you know, should we do a six-month extension, 9 months?
Yeah, but I mean, I guess if you're asking for an extension, you're really at that point opening yourself up to any type of renegotiation, because at that point you know what's happened with interest rates in the past year.
Well, but you would still have the majority of the contract is locked in at whatever the rate was when you did it.
Okay.
So there's basically just a little bit of a charge just to delay it.
Okay.
So you're still pretty much preserving that original rate that you had.
Okay.
So
okay.
What is that charge?
We talked.
I'm not talking about amount, but what by definition.
Maybe it's a basis point or two that gets added to the rate. So if the rate's a 250 that we lock in and we need to extend it for six more months, the rate gets adjusted to a 252 or something like that. So it's a couple of basis points.
And how exactly is that determined?
It's market conditions, and that's, again, you know, something that PFM would certify. You know, if we priced it out and said, well, it's 2 basis points to extend it for 6 months, PFM would be giving you the opinion that, yeah, that's what the market cost is right now for that type of extension.
So it wouldn't be a one-to-one ratio. If we decide to extend this another year, just for the sake of discussion, and between now and May of next year, there's, what, 5 meetings scheduled? So and they're talking about quite a quarter percentage point every each on each rate, so you're talking 1.5%. So it would a new contract for the next year be a whole 1.25%?
No. Again, you basically have your original rate, and you're just kind of bumping it up a little bit for the cost to extend it. Yeah. So it wouldn't be significant under that scenario.
Anything else? No further questions. I'll entertain a motion that the Board of Supervisors authorize the administration to work with RBC Capital Markets and the financing team to prepare the necessary documents for the interest rate hedge for the community center project. Financing is hereby approved and for approval of that.
So moved.
Moved by
Sexton.
Second by Mr. Zamuda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye is opposed. And that motion carries unanimously. Mr. Nagley, if you'd be so kind as to facilitate that.
And so we will just, you know, some of the input that we'll need back from you is, you know, what meeting would you like us to come back to for your formal action? We need the amount that you want to be considering. Those are really the two key items, is timing and the amount.
And my input to that would be that based on what we talked about tonight and the economic environment, as quick as possible.
I think so too.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Sooner the better.
Okay. So that would mean approving the ordinance at the 27th, May 27th.
As soon as they can get the work done.
Yeah. I think we'll have to have a discussion about whether we can have all the paperwork ready for then, and probably. Even if we are able to move that quickly, we can probably have the paperwork, but we might not be ready to actually lock in the transaction that next day. There still might be some approvals and other things. There's the finance office, or else Mr. Nagley's going to have to go through a pretty painful, there's a registration as a result of Dodd-Frank. There's a computer website registration for these types of contracts now that is absolutely painful to go through. So we would all be collectively helping get the township registered on that Dodd-Frank website.
But you have to give Mr. Nagley to exercise all due diligence.
Yeah, and we can do that, and then we'll just need the input on the amount.
So one quick question. There's no way that there would be an interim right raise of rates before the 21st?
I think we've only ever seen the Fed do something in between meetings and severe financial crises. So right now, the expectation is that March meeting, there's going to be a 25% rate hike. Most, when you look at these charts, most people believe that's already factored into the rates that are available today, because it's, you know, the Fed has just so telegraphed that increase. There's a chance, but I think the answer is it would be something catastrophic happening in the financial markets that the Fed took action outside.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. At this time, we're going to adjourn the supervisors' meeting, and we're going to convene a public hearing on consideration of adoption of Ordinance 701 to vacate Park Boulevard consistent with the advertising for that special meeting, or public hearing. Once the public hearing on that issue has concluded, we will then reconvene tonight and complete the remaining portion of our agenda. So I'll entertain a motion to adjourn this meeting until the conclusion of the public hearing on item agenda item B1 through 5. So moved by Mr. Mizuta. I'll second it. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed. And we will adjourn and reconvene at the conclusion of the public hearing. Turning our attention to the public hearing for the consideration of the adoption of Ordinance Number 701 to vacate Park Boulevard. Mr. Irwin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Lift the cord up. It's a bad cord. Now talk in the microphone.
And stand on the way
out.
Stand on the right phone.
Great.
Teamwork over here. This is a rather simple agenda item at this point. What I projected on the screen is the right-of-way shown in yellow, the former Park Boulevard, where the public road had existed, and then the right-of-way for New Park Boulevard, which has been accepted, shown in blue. The point of tonight's hearing is to meet the requirement in the MPC for a hearing or for public notification for a roadway vacation. Dalton County Planning Commission has reviewed the matter, and that's in your packets. I'm recommending that the Board of Supervisors would adopt this ordinance during the regular meeting. It is placed on your agenda as item B, if you so desire. There is two ways to vacate roads. One is through this simple public hearing, the other is a board of use. There is a document that's been signed by the adjacent property owners waiving that board of use, which we'll also be looking to have a motion for during the item B to get that executed as well by the township, acknowledging their waiver of the.
Any questions for Chuck on this piece of information?
I got another question. Chuck, this is just going to totally close that, the old road, right?
So when the old right-of-way is vacated, that vacates our responsibility in maintaining. Typically or technically, the land then is available to the adjacent property owners or would revert back to their rights. So both the Hershey Company and Hershey Entertainment and Resorts would, in essence, absorb the old right-of-way area. Some of it's still maintained as roadway. Some of it's been slightly replaced.
I saw somewhere in here that we're going to maintain it as an emergency road.
Portions.
A portion, yeah.
Yeah, and part of it becomes the new Chocolate Roadway.
So they're going to keep the bridge too?
It's not going to be ours.
Well, that's not going to be ours. It'll still remain there.
What they do with it then is what they do.
Right. Okay.
Any questions about Chuck for purposes of this hearing? Any public comment with respect to this? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to close the public hearing on the the prospect of adopting Ordinance 701.
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Court, seconded by Mark Moyer. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? And this hearing is adjourned.
We're back
to our regularly scheduled programming, resuming with we are reconvening the Board of Supervisors for February 13, 2018, and we are beginning with agenda item B1 through 5, consideration of adoption of Ordinance 701 to vacate Park Boulevard. Anything beyond that which was already mentioned at the public hearing?
We'd be looking for adoption of Ordinance 701 to vacate the former right-of-way of former Park Boulevard, and also authorization for the chairman to sign the agreement waiving the board of use.
Very well. Any thoughts or comments from members of the board? Now I'll entertain a motion to adopt Ordinance Number 701 to vacate Park Boulevard, as referred to by Ms. Trevor.
Sir.
Moved by Mr. Zamuda.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Engel. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? And that motion carries unanimously. Next item on the agenda, C1 through 4, consideration of the reduction of the performance security for preliminary final land development plan for the Milton Hershey School staff homes on Crest Lane, plot number 1266. Is that housekeeping, sir?
It is.
Did that motion include the execution of the...
I didn't think it did.
That's why you're a solicitor.
And I looked at Tim and he didn't look at me.
Okay. All right. Well, then.
Another motion to draw.
Yes.
We can execute the agreement.
Yeah. A second motion to execute the agreement
between the township and the parties involved in the
Hershey Entertainment Resorts and the Hershey Company.
Yeah.
For the waiver of board of view.
For the purpose of maintaining Park Boulevard.
Right.
All right. I'll make that motion. Seconded by Ms. Court. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? And that motion also carries. Yep. Thank you for the clarification. Now moving to C1 through C4, the housekeeping. Any questions with respect to that from members of the board? I'll entertain a motion. Moved by Ms. Court. Second. Second by Mr. Zamuda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? And that motion carries unanimously. B1 through 3, consideration of the release of the performance security provided for the preliminary final subdivision plan, Crystal A Drive, plat number 1283. Housekeeping, Mr.
It is indeed.
I'll entertain a motion to waive or release the performance security for preliminary final subdivision plan for Crystal A Drive, plat number 1283.
Sorry.
Moved by Mr. Zamuda, seconded by Mr. Engel. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? And that motion carries unanimously. E1 through 4, consideration of the reduction of the performance security for the preliminary final subdivision plan for 880 Stouffer's Church Road, plat number 1279. Is that housekeeping, sir?
It is.
I'll entertain a motion for the reduction of the performance security for the preliminary slash final subdivision plan for 880 Stouffer's Church Road, plat number 1279.
So
moved by Ms. Court. I'll second it. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? And that motion carries unanimously. F1 through 2, authorization to advertise an ordinance amending the code of Perry Township, ordinance number 553. Chapter 210, section 210-12, maximum speed limits established on certain streets by establishing a 25-mile-per-hour speed limit on Forest Avenue for the entire length of the road. Chief.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our department received a complaint from one of the residents along Forest Avenue in reference to the speed of some vehicles that were traveling that length of roadway. In order for us to look at those issues, we first have to have a speed limit on that roadway. So looked at the roadway, its length through there, determined it to be classified as a residential area and therefore qualifies for a 25 mile per hour speed limit. So that's what we're asking for, to advertise for that, pass ordinance for that 25 mile per hour speed limit.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the chief on this proposed advertisement? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to advertise ordinance 553 as proposed.
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Court. I'll second it. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and that authorization is hereby approved unanimously. Item G1, appointment of one member to the Derry Township Municipal Authority for an unexpired term of Charles Duncan. Joe?
We have one candidate for this position, Michael Corrado, for the board to vote on appointing.
And again, that's just for the unexpired term, correct? Very well. Any questions of Joe on this? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to appoint Mr. Corrado for the unexpired term.
So
moved by Mr. Engel.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Zmuda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and that motion carries unanimously. Turning to correspondence and board and committee information, Mr. Zmuda.
I'd just like to thank Tom Clark for doing a great job. His crew doing a good job this winter so far. The streets were pretty clear. I live on Cocoa, so I get to see that all the time. So, keep it up.
Thank you. I did have the opportunity to attend the fire department's annual banquet. It was very well attended, a great deal of camaraderie, and I just admire the bravery and dedication of our volunteer firefighters. They are to be commended for placing their lives on the line every day for our health and safety and welfare. Mr. Ware and I attended that. I thank you for the invitation, and more importantly, and most significantly, I want to extend my gratitude and the gratitude of the Board of Supervisors for the bravery and dedication demonstrated by members of the Hershey Volunteer Fire Company. So, thank you very much for everything. Susan? Justin? Turning to the reports from our department heads, Chief.
The only thing I have tonight is attended along with Chief Leonard and Sister Eileen from St. Joan, the Hershey Lions Club awards for 2017, and the award for 2017 from our department went to Officer Mary Grace Keppel, who is our school resource officer, has been so since 2001, and definitely well deserved on her part as far as receiving that Officer of the Year for the Lions Club.
Thank you, Chief. Scott?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to echo Chief Warner's comments. Our Firefighter of the Year was also recognized, and that was Colton Leonard, one of our young officers who have stepped up to be a young leader in the department and the future of the department, and it's well deserved as well. I would also like to take the opportunity to thank the board, primarily the prior boards, for their foresight. We had a recent call in the township involving a dryer fire in one of the Fond Lane area condominiums. Those homes have residential sprinkler systems installed. And as a result of that residential sprinkler system, the dryer fire, once discovered and tried to be suppressed by the homeowner, unable to do that, left the dryer open. The sprinkler system activated, held the fire in check till the fire department got there, and saved that home substantial fire damage as a result. And that's the foresight of this board in looking forward and protecting the community and advocating for those kinds of systems that help protect not only the lives of our residents, but firefighters. So thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
Bob? I have nothing to add, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Laura?
Terry.
Just a very brief update on the Community Recreation Center schematic design planning process. We've engaged RGS Associates from Lancaster, PA, to be the civil engineer. They're well underway in their efforts. The survey crew's been on site at the Recreation Center all last week and this week. They should be wrapping up here in the next 7 days or so. This past Thursday, we had a great kickoff meeting at their Lancaster office. Had our architect, Kim Obogret, there, along with RGS, and we're making great strides and just assuring the board that each and every day we're working hard to progress in this project. So I'll certainly keep you up to date. And we are targeting the first meeting in April to present the schematic designs to the public and to the board.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from Beth Meadow?
No report, ma'am.
Any questions or comments?
Just a quick question, Matt, or maybe this is for Chief. We had talked a couple of meetings ago about maybe some additional signage on Wood Road to notify drivers of the crosswalk. Just wasn't sure what the next steps were in that.
I know that Tom Clark reached out to me, and I sent him my information, so I think he was looking into that.
Okay.
I don't know if he put him up or not. But
there's nothing up yet. I was just curious what, you know, what the next steps were.
I think he was waiting until spring and he's going to do that.
I would just make the recommendation and suggestion that as the weather's breaking, there's a lot of pedestrian traffic out there already. I mean, today was a great example. I was driving home and a lot of people walking and crossing, and as you're coming up from Waltonville, you can't really see until you're upon it. So maybe if there's any way to push that along a little bit, you can check it out tomorrow.
Yep, I'll talk to Tom.
Thank you.
Have a contact you.
Thanks.
Anything else? Chuck, anything?
So with the conditional use hearing that we had earlier this evening, I'm going to put that on your agenda for March 13th for adoption. Anything to the contrary. And then also, January 9th, many of you weren't in court, attended the Premier Projects Awards put on by Dalton County, and were there as we received not one but two first place awards for projects. One was for Park Boulevard, which we just vacated, the Park Boulevard project, and the other was for our new zoning ordinance. So, just to publicly note the awards that we received.
Thank you, Sean.
Congratulations.
Yeah. You need a display case out there, Bobby.
No.
Laura, anything on your behalf?
Yes. Thank you. Just one thing, the Redevelopment Assistance Capital Program, or RACP, is currently open through the Office of the Budget with applications due on February 27th. We've talked about how that could potentially play a role in the... All the cords are bad. how that could potentially play a role in the Rec Center project. So if we were to submit an application, we'd be looking at it actually being like ICDA application, with the township being a sub-applicant as the owner and manager of the center. So there isn't a formal motion or resolution that's required at this point, but just wanted to get concurrence to proceed with submitting an application listing the township as a sub-applicant. We would be making a $10 million request, which would require for the program guidelines $5 million in matching funds, but of course we would need to provide the remaining funds to complete the project.
Any questions with respect to that? Everyone in agreement to move forward with that application?
Absolutely.
Yes. All right.
Thank you.
Yes.
Please do so.
Thanks.
Jill.
Nothing to report. Thanks.
I'll entertain a motion for approval of accounts payable in the amount of $618,347.94 and two payrolls in the aggregate amount of $666,353.51. I'll make a motion.
Second.
Second by Mr. Engel. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? And those approvals are granted unanimously. Now is the time for our second visitor public comments. If anybody from the community desirous of approaching or presenting anything to the board, please
Yes, hi, I'm Robert Noya, 1465 Jill Drive. You've seen me at previous meetings. I just wanted to let all of you know I'm here today to represent the Sun newspaper. Charles Huth, who's been their longtime municipal board reporter, is no longer writing for the Sun, so they've asked me to fill in on a temporary basis. And I was just hoping maybe after the meeting's adjourned, I could talk with one or more of you about some of the developments tonight.
Great. Thank you. Anyone else would like to address the board this evening? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Moved by Mr. Zamora, seconded by Ms. Quirk. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Those opposed, and this meeting is adjourned.